I'm reading from chapter 10 of the Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita, second volume. This is the beginning of a chapter called Beyond the Lower East Side. The Hare Krishna movement was becoming popular. There were regular kirtans in the park. There was newspaper coverage. Hayagriva Prabhu called it the Hare Krishna explosion. Explosion. The Lower East Side hippies considered the chanting of Hare Krishna one of the grooviest things happening. And it didn't seem to affect the devotees' popularity that the Swami's disciples did not take LSD. The devotees were accepted as angelic people, carrying the peaceful chanting to others and offering prasad and a place to stay. And on this, and in their storefront, on the shelf by the door, were books from India. So the books from India weren't well known in New York City. Sometimes the posters and the books from India conveyed some of the scenes or some of the philosophy. There were posters of the universal form, for example. And people in America saw that the universal form had many, many heads and arms and legs, and that this was presented, this universal form was presented to Arjuna. But the Bhagavad Gita was not well known. The idea of approaching a spiritual master was not well known. So basically people were in ignorance. And because they were in ignorance, Lord Krishna arranged to send representatives with the message of Bhagavad Gita to America. Srila Prabhupada came as a representative of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Krishna. And he was on the liberated platform. Brahma-bhuta, Brahma-bhuta-prasanatma, na-sochati-na-kangshati. Srila Prabhupada was not like the conditioned souls. People are generally identifying with the body. So this is not liberation. Aham Brahmasmi means to identify oneself as a spirit soul. Aham Brahmasmi. We should know our spiritual identity and we should know how to act on the spiritual platform. This information about devotional service. It's different than the information that people ordinarily have about life. Spiritual knowledge is durable, it is permanent, it doesn't fade away when a person leaves the body, spiritual knowledge and spiritual activities that he's performed continue with the person. Krishna says, there's no loss, there's no diminution if one makes endeavors on this path. So in the next life, our spiritual activity continues. And this is not the case with the activities in the bodily consciousness. We may have a family, we may have a bank balance, we may have an education, but at the time of death, you cannot take those things with you. So whatever achievements we accomplish with the body, we have to let go of them at the time of death. And in this life, in bodily consciousness, there's so many miseries forced upon us, especially birth and death and old age and disease. So the Bhagavad Gita is meant to liberate us, to help us escape the miseries of life. Brahma Bhuta Prasana Manasochiti Nakanksati. And Krishna says, Yad Gyatva Moksha Se Shubhat. Ashubhat means its life is inauspicious. And mokshase, be liberated from this inauspiciousness. This is the purpose of the Bhagavad Gita. The name Krishna is sometimes explained as one who takes away repeated birth and death. Krishna. Krish means the repeated birth and death, and na means one who checks, one who stops repeated birth and death, Krishna. So Krishna is advising in the Bhagavad Gita, surrender to me. Do not work independently. Don't try to make your own plan for happiness. Your plans will all be unsuccessful. In the age that we live in, Kali Yuga, life is very short. And people are very busy earning money. They have very little time for spiritual life. Maybe 1 hour a day, maybe 2 hours a day. And when they want to understand spiritual life, they're cheated by many pseudo-spiritualists, bogus gurus. They take advantage of people's interest in spiritual life. Sometimes people claim, I'm a religious person. I'm a Christian, I'm a Hindu, I'm a Jew, I follow Islam. But some of these people do not even believe in the scriptures. They just accept the designation that I'm this religion or that religion. Those who do accept the scriptures become attached to pious activities. They want to do good. They want to perform some sacrifice. They want to give in charity. They want to do some tapasya because they believe the scriptures. But many people nowadays just say, I'm religious, and they don't do anything. No yajna, no tapa, no charity. People are mostly concerned with attaining the necessities of life. Even that is difficult in the Kali Yuga. People have to struggle very hard in the age of iron. The age of Kali makes it difficult to attain what you need just to eat and sleep. There's so many people that are impoverished. There's so many unfair systems of government. The government is by unqualified people, run by unqualified people. So this makes it very difficult for people to attain even the basic standards of living. So with all the ignorance about how to live and all the chaos caused by unqualified leaders, the idea of being liberated from all this is practically out of the reach of people. They can't conceive of how I can be liberated from these material conditions of life, these inauspicious, miserable conditions. But the chanting makes it possible. The chanting of Hare Krishna makes it possible, even if you're not liberated, to understand your spiritual identity and to perform spiritual activities. Krishna comes as Lord Chaitanya to distribute this means of purification. What Krishna offered in the Bhagavad Gita as the purest knowledge, Lord Chaitanya delivers to us without all the prerequisites. We don't have to become tapasvis. We don't have to become persons who perform sacrifice and charity. We don't have to become fully qualified and become liberated. But we can get out, become liberated by knowledge, by spiritual knowledge. And that spiritual knowledge comes along with the simple process of chanting Hare Krishna and understanding one's relationship to Krishna. With spiritual knowledge, we understand the real situation about this world. So many people are in ignorance about the world. They don't know what this world is, why it works the way it does, and who controls it. Who's the owner of this world? People don't know. And therefore they act foolishly. They don't understand that there will be reactions to the way they act, that they'll have to take rebirth for their foolish activities. This material nature works like fire. Fire will burn anyone who puts his hand in it. The fire does not excuse an innocent child who puts his hand in the fire. The child gets burned even though he doesn't know that it will burn him. So material nature also reacts upon all of us who are ignorant or who are innocent, who don't know that this world is a very dangerous and inauspicious place. But the knowledge of Scripture is meant to deliver us from our ignorance. The scriptural knowledge is so important. Gyatva moksha se subhat. By spiritual knowledge, we can escape inauspiciousness. And therefore, there are so many representatives. Krishna's representatives who give the scriptures to people. During the marathon, during the Srila Prabhupada marathon, so many devotees are distributing books to people. So many of Krishna's representatives. We hear their names after Mangalartik. The list of names of devotees who are going out and giving Bhagavad Gita to people. It's such a long list. Turn it up. That's it. That's good. So the list of devotees distributing Bhagavad Gita is very long. Krishna has many representatives trying to help people. The Bhagavad Gita is the best scripture for enlightening people about their spiritual identity and their relationship to God. There's a sacred connection between people and God, between humanity and divinity. This is taught in the Bhagavad Gita. Sacred connection. Therefore, Bhagavad Gita is a book of yoga. Yoga means the union with God, the connection with God that humanity has. And the Bhagavad Gita is actually the most comprehensive presentation of yoga. Twenty 20% of the verses of Bhagavad Gita mention yoga or variations of the word yoga. 20% of the verses. So Bhagavad Gita means a song of God. A song expresses the desire or the yearning of the person who is speaking the song. Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, has a desire, he has a yearning. From his heart, the heart of God is yearning for the love of the humanity. Krishna is calling the conditioned souls to love him and to take the journey to him. Take the journey to Krishna. Be united with him. And become Krishna's devotee, become a bhakta. The metaphysical, this philosophical meaning of the word bhakta which is usually translated as a devotee, the literal meaning is that of a soul who is both loved by God and who loves God. That's the meaning of bhakta. Someone who loves God and who's loved by God. And bhakti refers to the offerings of love made by the devotees. And the love that is intimately shared between Bhagavan and the bhakta. So the relationship is perfected in love, in bhakti. In bhakti, Bhagavan sends out his loving call to all souls in the Bhagavad Gita. So the Christmas marathon or the Prabhupada marathon is an opportunity to distribute the Bhagavad Gita to so many people. The book distribution of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness has been going on for almost 50 years. I used to be the editor of the Sankirtan newsletter in the years 1976, 1977 in New York. I was the editor, and it was a weekly newsletter. The temples would send scores every week, and the newsletter would be sent to the devotees every week. Gopal Krishna Maharaj told me that when he was with Srila Prabhupada and the post or the mail arrived, the letters were delivered and the letters were brought to Srila Prabhupada. If the Sankirtan newsletter was on the desk, if the Sankirtan newsletter had come in the mail, this was the first letter that Srila Prabhupada wanted to be opened. He wanted to see the Sankirtan newsletter first, the book distribution results. After Srila Prabhupada left this world, the book distribution peaked. 1978 was the biggest year in worldwide book distribution. The devotees distributed 15 million books and magazines. 15 million books and magazines in 1978. That was the peak. In 1979, the devotees distributed 14 million books or magazines. And again in 1983, 14 million. Those were the three best years. There were four other years, and in each of those years, 10 million books or magazines were distributed. So altogether, there were 7 years when we've been distributing more than 10 million per year. Sometimes the book distribution has gone down because leaders have gone down. In the decade, in the 10 years between 2000, the year 2000 and the year 2010, the book distribution was at a low point. The devotees were distributing only 2 million books a year for the first 3 years, 2000, to 2002. But things got better. In the last 10 years, every year, the book distribution has increased year by year for the last 10 years. And now, ISKCON distributes about 6 million books or magazines per year. And 6 million books, 6 million books, that score is the average of all the years put together so far. If you take all the 50, all the years of book distribution since 1965 and you average them, the average per year is about 6 million. And that's how many books are being distributed nowadays in the most recent years. Does anyone have any questions? Okay, we'll stop there. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Glorious Srila Prabhupada.